Well, hello everyone, and here we are again, and again, as we would usually greet you, we trust that in this time of isolation and separation, we trust that you are knowing God's help, and we hope that these little talks have been a help to you. I've enjoyed doing them, but I do trust that they've been some source of help and encouragement to you. All day today, I've had a message burning on my heart that I wanted to share with you. And it's 20 past 8 in the evening now, but I wanted to share it with you before, at least I wanted to record it before I turn in for the night, because I believe it's very, very relevant to the situation in which we find ourselves. I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses, and I'm going to entitle this little message Elijah's Social Isolation. And it's very, very, very pertinent to yours and my situation at the moment. And here's how it reads, and listen carefully to what it says. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no more dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. I've often said about this little account that Elijah was brought to a place where he was alone, but he wasn't lonely, because God was with him. Let me tell you a little bit about this situation. Elijah was a man of God, and he declared the judgment of God to Ahab and the way that he was ruling the nation. And it was very dangerous for him, so God told Elijah to go to a place where he'd be a place of safety, away from the glaring eyes of the public and away from the dangerous hands of Ahab. Elijah was a tool in the hand of God for his day. Indeed, Ahab was a device of the enemy for destruction, for the way he was leading his people. And so God brought Elijah away to the brook Cherith. And we have so much by way of spiritual application and spiritual truth. I believe there'll be a blessing and a benefit to you even as you listen to this little message. The first thing that I note from this little message, from this little story, is this. God knew where Elijah was. If you went to 1 Kings chapter 18 and you read verse 10, it says there that Ahab had sent a search party out for Elijah. And they searched and searched and couldn't find him. God brought Elijah to a place that no one could think of looking. No one knew of this place. It was a private, personal, intimate place that God had provided for him. Now, I know after these weeks of isolation and separation, we're all feeling it, aren't we? We're feeling that we're not free to meet with our loved ones. As Andrew said on Sunday night, we miss that social communication, separation. There's heartache and heartbreak. And as the weeks wear on, we're longing more and more to meet with our loved ones and to have that social interaction, even fellowship in church. I said it on Sunday morning myself. It's just kind of soul-destroying coming into an empty church where yes, we come there to sing and to worship God, but isn't there a social element to church where we enjoy each other's company, we learn things from each other, we encourage each other, we hear little bits and tidbits of news about each other, and so we're feeling it. Maybe you're feeling not being able to meet with your loved one, with your relative, your friend, or someone who's very, very close to you. Maybe even some of you who've got girlfriends or boyfriends, perhaps you're feeling that as well, that you haven't been able to meet as normal and as usual. And so there's that emotional low ebb, I would say. But maybe, just maybe, not only are you in an emotional low ebb, but maybe you're in a spiritual low ebb, a physical low ebb. Maybe you've got lots of questions and difficulties. Can I say, may I say, God knows where you are. He's a very present help in time of trouble. I've often thought of the psalmist David in Psalm 23 as he was sitting on the side of the mountain and he was caring for his sheep, and as he watched over the flock, he could see this whole flock of sheep, and he said, he realized the responsibility that he had for these sheep. And the weight of that responsibility came upon him. And we know that he protected them, because we know the Bible tells us that he fought off lions and bears to protect the flock. But it seems to me that as he was sitting on the side of the mountain, all of a sudden he wondered, who's looking after me? And it suddenly dawned upon him, the Lord is my shepherd. God knew where he was. God knew the situation. God knew his condition. I've often said the Psalms are a biography, or the life story of the psalmist's encounters with God and the things that he thought and the events that he got into. So the first thing that I see from this story is God knows where you are. Really, God knows how you are. The second thing that I notice from this story is not only that God knew where he was, but God knew what he needed. I love it. In verse 6 of 1 Kings 17 it says, the raven brought him food in the morning and the evening, and there was a brook there to give him water. God provided for Elijah morning and evening. There was no mobile phone, and there was no way of ordering Uber Eats to bring him his meals, and he wasn't signed up to any of these digitally signed up restaurants. No, he wasn't signed up to KFC or McDonald's. He didn't come, but God knew. God knew. The ravens, they brought him his meat in the morning and the evening. And we'll see about the ravens in a wee moment. But there was also a brook. When we read of brooks and water, we read of the Holy Spirit. And God has sent his Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, I will give you water that you'll never thirst again. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it just might be that what you need today and in the days that lie ahead is that enabling from the Spirit of God to empower you to live in the circumstances in which you find yourself. Maybe you feel yourself spiritually dry. Maybe you feel you're missing that element, that dynamic of coming together and worshipping in a congregation, or being free to interact with others in a physical sense. The brook represents the Holy Spirit who's everywhere. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go, for if I do not go, he will not come. And we're after celebrating Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and this is Easter Monday. And one of the huge results of Christ going to Calvary was that he sent the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's just, maybe that's what you need. That's what I need. We need is the infilling and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit to come again and fill us afresh. A new anointing for the circumstance in which we find ourselves. I don't know what you need, but I do know this. God knows what you need. And aren't you content with that? And you ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Maybe your nerves are frayed at the edge. Maybe the children are driving you crazy. Maybe you don't know what next to do with your children. Oh, it was a kind of all new and newfangled at the beginning, but now it's a wee bit more serious. And in the confined space that you find yourself, you're finding you're running out of ideas, and the children are becoming a little bit agitated and frustrated. The Holy Spirit will help you, to empower you to think right, to make the right decisions, and He will come and quench that thirst that you have. God knows what you need. I'm not going to try and suggest any further, but God knows what you need, because God knew what Elijah needed in this situation, and He already had it pre-organized for him. He says, I am going to bring you to a place where there will be a brook, and there's 3.5 years of famine here, 3.5 years of drought. But even in the midst of the wilderness, and don't we read that Jesus was the rock that followed them in the wilderness, and He's with you now. The last little thought is this: not only did God know where He was, not only did God know what He needed, and God knows where you are, and God knows what you need, but God knew how to get it to Him. Again, I refer to these ravens. The raven where God's deliverers, His delivery method. He didn't need Uber Eats. He didn't need the phone and taxi to get him a KFC or to get him a Chinese meal deal. No, God already had it pre-prescribed, pre-ordered. God knew how to get it to him. Can you imagine that if Ahab, who had his search parties out for him, you've seen that in 1 Kings 18, if they had seen this regular delivery been brought to Elijah, then they would have known, well, there's someone up there. They would have known how to find him. But God, no one would suspect that the raven. Now let me tell you a little bit about the raven. The Hebrew word for raven are scavengers. And it's also a word called messengers. And we know in the Bible that raven, scavengers, are an unclean animal. Bird. God used something that to the outside world would have seemed unclean, unacceptable, unpalatable, and God used it to bring blessing and relief to Elijah. What do I learn from that? God knows how to overcome the obstacles to bring blessing to your heart and mind. God makes a way where there is no way. God can get to you from directions and through circumstances that you would think are unacceptable and unpalatable. Isn't that what Easter is all about? Isn't it? Isn't that what we learn from the cross of Jesus Christ? That unacceptable human, from a human standpoint, where a story where they took this sinless, perfect, godly man, hung him on a cross, and he bled and he died for you and I. But God was in it. And on the third day he rose again, as we said on yesterday morning, for our justification. And Andrew said last night, Sunday night, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And he will turn our doom and gloom into delight and celebration. What I'm literally saying, what I'm really saying is, God knows how to get to your heart. God's already planning the route. It might seem unpalatable, it might seem unacceptable, but God is carving a way, a road into our hearts, the church, that he might explode us into life again. Because let's face it, we had gotten used to the comfortable, easy road in life, hadn't we? We were looking for more and more, and it was not satisfying. And if we would nearly accept anything now just to get out of this frustrating set of circumstances. But I want to tell you, God may just be forging a way to let the channels of blessing flow in our hearts and in our lives once again. God knew how to get blessing to him. God knew how to get it to him. And through Christ on the cross and his death and his resurrection and the plans that God has made, the wonderful miracles God performed, Christ performed, and the whole gospel story tells me God knows how to get blessing to your heart and to mine. I thought this little story would be a blessing to you. And just maybe now you need to bow your head where you are and say, Lord, I thought no one knew where I was. And I thought, Lord, you didn't know what I needed. But today, Lord, you've spoken to my heart. Let's just bow for a wee moment of prayer. And you can pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you know all about me. You know all about my frustrations, my plans. You know where I am. You know my circumstances. I am not hidden from your sight. And thank you, Lord, I learned from the story of Elijah that you know exactly what I'm going through. You know the frustrations in my mind. You know the difficulties in my life at this point in time. You know the things that are disturbing me and discouraging me. But Lord, I thank you that when I look to Calvary, when I look at the empty cross and the empty tomb, I know that God makes a way where there is no way. Lord, I open my heart to you now. Will you fill me by your Holy Spirit? Will you, Lord, come and take away this thirst and give me a new edge to my life that I may truly bring glory and honor to your name? Lord, I pray for every person that has bowed their head. I ask, Lord, that they will search the scriptures and find them to be true, that God keeps his promises to his children. Bless, Lord, bless in that home where there's tears. Bless, Lord, in that home where there's frustration. Bless in that home, Lord, where there's pain or the need for embrace. Lord, we pray that you wrap your arms around each individual and cause them, Lord, to sense God in a new way. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I hope this little message has been a blessing to you. And if you would like to get in touch with us, then you know how to do that. And there's plenty of information on our website. We're looking forward this Sunday to Heather Steenson giving her testimony. She'll be sharing with us on Sunday evening, and it's a wonderful story of God's grace in the midst of heartbreak and heartache. Do make it known. Share these little videos with others who wouldn't be on our Facebook page, and use these tools as a means of bringing blessing to others who perhaps are going through the exact same as you, but have no means of having contact. God bless you. And may you know the Spirit filling your heart and life this week. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.